You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So if you've joined us in the last few weeks, you'd know that we've been talking about our vision as Audacious Church, what our vision is, what our purpose is, what our mission is. And so we've been just reminding ourselves of the language. So we've got our vision statement. Can anybody tell me what our vision statement is? Test. Lee, do you know? Okay, stand up and give it to us in full force. Great. Do you want
to? Audacious Church, growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next.
It was 80%, right? You forgot the bit about the church that makes a statement. Statement, yes. But growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. We've got a real sense of what we do today is part of the legacy that we build for our children and our children's children. And we don't want to see this to be a flash in the pan movement, but as something that is sustained like through our generations. And so that's really exciting. And we have been looking at our purpose as well. And that is to display the supernatural God. So we're going to be looking at that right now. And it's anchored in the very famous scripture found in Matthew 28, 18, where Jesus has died and 3 days later he is risen again and he is now appearing to his disciples. And when he appears to his disciples, one of the times he says these words, and then Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is just these words right here. Therefore, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son. If you were ever wondering what your purpose is, it is anchored in these words. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel, discipling all nations. And it doesn't change. It hasn't changed across the generations. It hasn't changed across the cultures. It hasn't changed across time. It is still as relevant today as it has ever been. So when people say to me, you know, "Oh, Pastor Soif, what do you think God's doing in the church today?" Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son. "Oh, but what about what's happening with the economy? What about what's happening with global affairs? What's happening, you know, with all of these things that are taking place in the world?" What is God saying? He's saying, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, but what about this and what about that? No, it doesn't change. It is an anchor. It is a stale. It is just, it's a, what's it? That's not the right word. It is something that doesn't change. It is something that we can stand on and know beyond a shadow of a doubt why we are here. Therefore, go. Not a club that, you know, just wants to kind of like do our little religious thing, where we go to church and we read our Bible and we live, you know, kind of these nice, polite lives. No, we are a possessing people. We are a people that God has given us territory to. You see, in the Old Testament, we have the picture of the Israelites where God gave them a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was a distinctive geographical area. And he said, "I'm going to give this to you. There are people in the land that think it's theirs, but I'm giving it to you. You're going to have to go and take it. You're going to have to go and possess it," right? But our land is not a geographical location as such, a limited, a confined geographical location. In this scripture, we see what our territory is. All nations. All nations. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This planet belongs to God. The nations belong to God. People belong to God. And that's why we're here. Now, I left my phone at home. So can somebody give me their phone? Amy, thank you so much. So, if we're talking about purpose, we've got to understand why or what the situation was, the conditions that we were in order to get this purpose from God, this scripture here, to display the supernatural God. And we're going to use this as our illustration. Now, something that you may not know about me is that I'm not very good with technology. I think I'll put it another way. I am gifted at destroying technology. I am very good at it. And if it, you know, if there was a qualification in that, I would definitely be PhD standard. And I got into this habit of oh, so pretty. Oh, sorry. Wedding photo. Anyway, I got into the habit of keeping my phone in my back pocket. And do you know how many times I have had my phone go down the toilet? Lots of times. And it's that noise, you know, that noise when it hits the water and you're like, no, and you've got to shove your hand down there and pick it up. And it's, you know, and you're just praying that, you know, that's like the second, 3 second rule for food on the floor, that, you know, it's going to be all right. You just pray that it's not going to be defective. Who's ever dropped their phone and shattered their screen? Right? Well, you've got three choices when you get into this situation where now you've flooded it with water or you've dropped it onto the ground and now it's just not working the way it should. Now it's got glitches. Now it's got, like, you know, maybe the cracked screen, or maybe it doesn't make phone calls the way, or maybe it just randomly calls people when you don't want to call people. Has anybody got that situation? Or, you know, you're suddenly calling someone. You're like, how did that happen? And they're like, you know, I've got a missed call from you. And you're like, my phone has a mind of its own. It's doing its own thing. We've got three choices. Number one, we can just manage. We can just manage and just try and figure out how we can get this phone with its glitches, with its dysfunction to kind of work. You know, I've seen many people seem to be able to get through their phone needs with a cracked screen. And we do that. We just think, oh, all it needs is a hard reset every time I want to call somebody or to make a text and, you know, I'll be fine. So we manage. Or you could take it to maybe one of those, like, little shops, you know, that look a little bit dodgy and see if they can fix it. Or many of us have got that teenager in their lives that you can give them your phone and they'll just look up YouTube videos and think, yeah, I can fix that. I can fix that. Or thirdly, we can do what most of us end up doing, and that is take it to the manufacturer and get it actually restored properly. Well, the Bible says that we have a problem, just like a phone who's been dropped on its head or flush down the toilet, that we have a problem and it's called sin. It's something that separates us from the God who created us, who designed us to be in relationship with Him. Now, sin, you can give it a lot of definitions, but I'm going to give you a very, very simple one. And sin is the idea is that we have turned away from God being our God and being our King and being our Father God. And we turned our back on Him and we made ourselves our own God and we made ourselves our own King and we made ourselves our own authority. And that the Bible calls sin. And it's a crime. It's a crime against God, and it has a punishment. And God, in his mercy and his grace, provided a solution through Jesus dying on the cross and taking the punishment, the penalty for that crime. But we do have choices. We can be like what we do with our phones. We can, number one, we can just learn to live with our sin. We can just limp through life because, you know, we manage. We manage. You can just get through life with being separated from God. Do the best we can. We do good things. We try to be the best people that we can be. We try to be kind. We try to be good. We try to make a difference. But yet nothing fixes that issue of sin. The second thing we can do is we can just cope. The world's got a lot of options of how to cope with sin, how to make ourselves feel better. You know, like I said with the phone, you can maybe do a reset every time that you want to use it because that's the way it works. And we can maybe say, oh, I just need a holiday. I just need to make a change. I just need to, you know, get away. I just need to fix this issue. And we learn ways of trying to make ourselves feel better. We can use alcohol, we can use career, we can use relationships, we can use all sorts of things in order to try and fix the problem. Or just like the phone, we go back to the one who created us. We go back to the one who designed us. We go back to the one where we came from. And we say, God, restore. Make me clean. Wipe the sin out of my life and let me come back into a relationship with you. You see, this is the good news. The good news is that there is hope. The good news that there is a fix. The good news that there is somebody who can restore us. The good news that we don't have to live with a limp. The good news that we don't have to live broken. The good news that God, in his mercy, can take your heart, take your life, and make it brand new. He alone can do that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that is if anyone who has turned away from their own way and turned back into a relationship with God, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, that person is a new creation, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, which is sin, have passed away, wiped clean. Behold, new things have come because of the spiritual awakening. You see, the Bible says that as long as we are turned away from God, we are dead to him. We're dead. It's not even like, you know, deaf. No, we're dead to him. And when we turn, we become alive in our spirit to him. So we can summarize this process in four ways. Number one, 4 points. And I think we've got a, can I have one of those brochures? Yeah, that's a one. You've got one of these on your seats who tells a little bit, gives a breakdown of what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. But on the back of this is these 4 points that I'm about to explain. The first one is that knowing that God loves you, knowing that we were created to be in relationship with him, that's the first point. That's the start. And then knowing that everybody has sinned. Sin is not a certain person, a bad person situation. It is a all people situation. It does, regardless of where we come from or what we have done. Number three is the acknowledgement that Jesus died for each and every one of us, that Jesus was the rescue plan, that he, as it says in John 3:16, died for all of us on the cross. And four, that we all need to respond to that. We all need to decide what to do about Jesus who died on the cross and was risen again 3 days later. Every single person deserves to hear that Jesus died for them, and every single person needs to have the opportunity to respond. Even if it's indifference, even if it is rejection, to at least have heard that there is hope and life and peace and joy and love in Jesus, that there is a restoration within the manufacturer, that we can be made new within our relationship with God. Everybody deserves an opportunity to respond. Everybody needs to respond. It's good news. That's why we do church the way we do. That's why we praise the way we do. Because each and every one of us in this room, most of us in the room, have got that story of where we were going this way. And then God revealed himself and we said, yes, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I'm putting my hands, my life back into your hands. Come and make me new. Make me clean. Make me the way I was supposed to be. Whole in you. But that's not the finishing line. That's the starting. That's the starting point. You see, you were restored in God for a purpose. Every single one of us has been restored in God for a purpose. This phone wasn't just restored. You know, the screen wasn't just fixed and the wiring wasn't made new for nothing. It has a purpose. And just like the phone, we can use some analogies on why we were restored. Number one, we were restored to be connected. You see, our turning away from our own sin and becoming part of God's family is because we become connected, just like a phone needs to be connected to a power source. I don't know if you have a relationship with God in this place. And if you don't and you would like to maybe explore that, we're going to pray a prayer at the end of this service that is going to invite you to bring your life in alignment and in the hands of God. First thing, got to be connected, but then we've got to be charged, right? No point in being connected without being charged, or else the phone don't work. The Bible says that we've been given the Holy Spirit. In Acts, God sent the Holy Spirit to empower his church. You know, one of the biggest obstacles about us stepping into our purpose is this thought. Who, me? I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. How do I tell people about Jesus? Or how do I make a difference in my generation? Or how do I, you know, fulfill this purpose that God has for us? And we kind of look at ourselves and go, that's impossible. But the fact is that we were restored for purpose, not because we had our own power, but because God was going to supply the power. He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to dwell within you, and that is going to give you the power to be my witnesses and to be the church and be this possessing people, this people that take territory, that are going to disciple the nations, that are going to go and tell people about Jesus. It's not about you and what you can do and what you can't do. It's about who you're connected to. And we are all in this relationship with God, and he gives us himself through the Holy Spirit to empower us to live this life, this audacious life, to display the supernatural God only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, we were restored to be sent. You see, the phone can be connected, it can be charged, but unless we actually use it, make calls, take texts, do emails, it's not fulfilling its purpose. The same with the church. Guys, anytime now. Same with the church. The same with the church. What are we here for? We're here to be God's witness. Each and every one of you have got a supernatural story. Did you know that? You making that decision to turn around and be made new in God, that's not a normal, natural phenomenon. That's supernatural. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only God can restore a soul. Only God can make us new. You have a supernatural story. The church is a supernatural entity. It's not just a do-gooder, although that is part of what we do because we bless our community. We bless our city. We lift up the broken. We help the vulnerable because that's God's heart. But it is a supernatural body, empowered by God Himself for purpose. We are sent. You see, this idea of display, it's not two-dimensional. It's interactive. We enter into the darkest of places. We step into chaos and disorder. We bring the light of God into our schools, into our workplaces, into our families, into our friendships, into our sphere of influence. You carry that. As a church, we've got a purpose, and your place is to play your part in that. You've got a supernatural story, and you've got a supernatural God living inside you. The minute you step into any environment, you've changed the atmosphere. We speak faith. We speak hope. We speak life. We speak courage. Our world is being crippled and paralyzed by fear. Everything you read in the news, fear, 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 fear. Crisis, 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 crisis. But the people of God, we listen to a different voice. We've got a different message, that there is hope and life and restoration in Jesus. Like I said at the beginning of this message, this is a commissioning. Some of you just need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Some of you just will need to be connected, just to come into relationship with this God. Others, like I said, filled with the Holy Spirit, but I want us to make a decision today that we're not going to hold back this light that God has given to us, but we're going to be the church. Connected, empowered to be His witness, His ambassador, that we can bring His authority to every situation. You are more than equipped. You have His wisdom. You have His heart. You have His spirit. And it is a beautiful thing that what God has done in your life. People need to know.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.